God is so kind to us. I had a message planned, and I might get to it. I don't know. He spoke to me out of all places on the way down in the car to church tonight, which didn't give me a lot of time to comprehend what he's saying, but by the Spirit, I understand what he's saying. So I'll just kind of have utterance tonight to just say what I... And I said, Lord, I'll share that on Sunday. And he said, well, I want you to share a little bit of it tonight, and then you can share more of it on Sunday. So I said, okay. But Jennifer, it was a very holy thing. A very holy thing. And so, to give you a background so you'll understand when I tell you what he said, June the 28th, am I getting that date correct? I mean, it's been so long since I've talked about it. June the 28th, 2010, about what, quarter to 11? Yeah. Something like that. Because it happened before, but did it happen after Pastor Nancy shared? Mm-hmm. I think it did. I can't even remember now. But we had the building set that way. We still had the rats, snakes, and birds on this side. Well, there's some rats, snakes, and birds here still. But anyway, I'm kidding. And so we were there. Dr. Dufresne, that was his first day. They never did morning services, but I begged and pleaded because we were so hungry for him to do a morning service. And so he capitulated, which he didn't usually do with other pastors, but it was his first time in our building. He had come the year before. We had rented a church in Oakville. Remember, 3 days of glory? And he came. And anyway, let me say this first, because I think this is important to remember. There's people that are, Jenny, that haven't even heard this, that are new. And maybe they have, and they need to be reminded. But the fire, there was a bit of an attack and a firestorm that came against us from another church at the beginning when we first planted the church. And we were, and the Lord said, the season that you're in now will be called the Cave of Adullam. And that was Lorraine's basement. She doesn't like me to call her basement a cave, but that's really what it was. But it was, David was there for a season, and he was there under attack and under pressure. And that was part of the David timeline. Then he said, the season will end, and you'll go into your zigzag season, which was basically 2010. We moved in March to this building. And we continued in that zigzag season, because he used that David parallel with me. We continued in that zigzag season until from 2010 until 2020, which is when we entered our Hebron season. See, nothing, God doesn't do anything that fast, usually. Not in this kind of thing. And so with that pressure, so this is 2009. We opened the church in October 08, on October the 7th, 2008. And so... you know, there was some attack, just the devil. You know, people are, I'm not against people, I'm against the devil. It wasn't that, you know, that the people are that bad. No. It's just the devil's bad. Right. And he'll use people that maybe are not always led by the Spirit. Sure. And so anyway, that church, wonderful pastors, they just were under a tremendous amount of pressure. And I've learned when you're under a tremendous amount of pressure, you'll do things that maybe you wouldn't normally do. So there was some attack that had come, and so we didn't want to be in Mississauga, or God had said, be in Mississauga, but I was under such pressure from that attack, I thought, well, I'll just go to Oakville, just get away from, then maybe the attack would stop. So we rented a church there. Dr. Dufresne was planning on coming. I was working at customs. You weren't allowed to have your phone on where I was working, so I had it in my pocket with it turned off. And then on my break, I turned it on. 8 missed calls. Dr. Dufresne, Dr. Dufresne, Dr. Dufresne. Now, you don't miss Dr. Dufresne's calls. Do you understand? I mean, he'll yell at the Queen if he has to. Nobody misses his calls, but I did 8 times. So I called him back. He yelled at me. I said, sir, I'm not allowed to have my phone on. He goes, okay, sit down. I said, I'm seated. And so he listed me a list of all these adjectives and synonyms, thief, liar, snake, Beelzebub, these kind of things, okay, about this attack. This people had been calling us those names. And he said, so I've decided that I'm not coming because I don't want to cause division in the body of Christ. And even though I don't believe that you are these things that you are accused of, he said, it's just, it's just better that I don't get involved, you know, and I understand that because the other people were senior people in the city and in the body of Christ. And he said, are you those things? And I said, no, sir. He said, are these accusations against you true? I said, no, sir. And I said, but I don't expect you to believe me because you've been in relationship with that person for 20 years and you've known me for what? When was it? September 08? Now we're talking July 09. So less than a year? And I said, I don't expect you to believe me, but God is my judge, and you're going to, you know, wasn't aggressive. I just said, I can't defend myself against such accusations. And he said, he paused, and he said, don't worry, I'm still coming, after he had just said, I'm not coming. But then he said, don't worry, I'm still coming. He said, I'll talk to you when I get there, because God intervened. I said, okay. So that was like a week before, and then he shows up, you know, in his plane. I take him to the hotel, which was the same hotel Dad Hagen stayed in, right by the Chop House there, the Hilton Hotel there on just off Argentea area. And so Mitch was hanging up his suits, and he said, get out, Mitch. You know, the doctor was like that. But you understand his heart, right? He's just, get it done. He didn't want distractions. So Mitch put the suits on the bed and walked out. He said, sit down there. So I sat down on the bed. I'm taller than him, but when you're sitting on the bed, he's taller than you. And that's what he wanted. And so he kind of, as close as I am to you, Taylor, you're sitting and he's standing like this and he's looking at me like this. And he said, you know, I told you I wasn't coming. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, but I'm here. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you want to know why I'm here? And it's not because of you, not because of me. And I said, I would like that to know that, sir, if that's okay with you. And he said, an angel walked through the wall that day I called you. That's why he was calling eight times. An angel walked through the wall in open vision, like with his eyes open like now. And the angel pointed his finger at him and said, I've come from the throne of heaven to bring you a message. Because he had just said to God, I'm not going to that church. I can't put my stamp of approval. Even if he is innocent, it's going to cause friction. And God, and that angel said, you will go and you will preach. And then he walked back through the wall. So Dr. Dufresne said to me in that room, he said, I know you're innocent of these charges, although there's always two sides to every coin, and maybe you're not completely innocent. He said, I've never met anybody that's not completely innocent. And I said, well, that's true, sir. I'm sure I've made mistakes like everybody else. He said, but God himself sent an angel from his throne room to tell me to come because he's putting a stamp on this church. So he said, we're going to have the meeting and let the tongues wag if they want. And God's going to be with us, and we're going to do this because this is God's will. And we had a great set of meetings. And then the Spirit, he dealt with something from his higher office. And from the time those meetings ended, the persecution virtually stopped overnight. And things returned to a sense of normalcy. So that was July 09. Now we're into March 10. We move into this building because he told me, don't let people intimidate you. He said, did God tell you to be in Mississauga? I said, I believe I'm supposed to be in Mississauga, but I'm happy to go elsewhere. And so he walked me through with his wisdom and all the ministerial ethics. There's a whole lot of things that the regular people don't understand what happened in ministry. But there's certain distance we had to be by driving away from the other church. The city had to have a certain amount of population for it to be an ethical church plant. And we went through all of that with me. And so he went through all of that with me. And so we couldn't even look at a certain part of the city. We didn't even look because that was within that range that would have become unethical. So we were looking at this other side of the city. And anyway, so that was when Lorraine, this happened in July, he came. And then October the 6th on my birthday, that's when that little bird was flying, remember, in the water. I've told you that story because the Mars family is so... We're at 88 people using one bathroom. That about destroy their plumbing. You know, their bathroom put the seat down on their toilet. That was my green room. That's where I would sit to pray in their master bedroom. They just gave it all. They gave it all to Jesus just to help the work of God. Very few people would do that. But at the same time, I don't overstay my welcome either because I'm sure they weren't expecting it to be that long. So on my birthday, I'm crying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I've looked at every building. I can't find nothing. I don't know what to do. And those little birds. And he said, and this morning, last night, they didn't have any water. But this morning, I provided. And they were just dancing and flying. And he said, I'm going to provide. It looks like it's not there, but I'm going to provide for you. That was October 6th. October 7th, Lorraine calls me and says, I think we need to go look at 140 Capitol Court again. I dismissed it because I'm not sharing with anybody, especially not with animals and rabbits. But when we walked in, the Spirit of God bore witness. I just knew this was our building. And of course, over time, we bought her out and she left and all that kind of wonderful stuff. So now we have that building. This is March 2010, correct, Lorraine? Now, Dr. Dufresne is coming for the first time June 28th. This is March. Now, June 28th, just a few months from now. So we are working. Do you remember that, Lorraine? I mean, we had crews of people. Yeah. Most of them got offended and left afterward anyway. I'll just milk them as long as I can. I don't mean to be mean, but doctor said just milk those sheep. The rebellious ones you know are going to get offended, just let them work for Jesus as long as they'll stay unoffended. When they get offended, let them go, because you're probably going to lose them anyway. And so we had one, but despite all that, we had wonderful people, and they worked so hard. And I mean, we were working hard. We couldn't renovate that side because she hadn't left yet. But there was a big yellow duck, 6 feet tall, hanging from the ceiling, just in front of the green room door there. That was a big slide. The green room was a big slide. Kids would slide down. It was purple, orange, all the primary colors and other colors that didn't match the primary colors. And anyway, so it was a lot of work to get this place ready and renovated. And we were having services, but there was a lot of work, and we were trying to get ready for Dr. Dufresne. Because I knew that he's the divine supply. We need to get him in here. So out of my desperate hunger, I said, you got to do it Monday morning. And he fought me a bit, but he finally capitulated. And so, but I think I pay attention to that, because when you're hungry, God will sometimes answer you special.
Right.
I'm glad I pushed for it. And so if I remember correctly, Pastor Nancy, got up and she had words of knowledge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And she thought that they would be like maybe 10 people there. Because it's a Monday morning, people go to work. But we had a decent crowd for the size of our church, right? We probably only had less than 100 people by that point. But we had probably 80 people here. Like, most of the church showed up. Wouldn't that be nice if most of the church would still show up? Praise the Lord. I guess they were hungry back then. And most of the church showed up. And in the hotel room, God was giving her words of knowledge. Do you remember that? It wasn't one of those spontaneous words of knowledge like it usually is, but she would write them down. Remember, Taylor? And she just basically read what that word of knowledge was. It said, now that's a word of knowledge, but it's not by through the gift of prophecy.
Right. Yes.
Prophecy is spontaneous utterance. But a word of knowledge can come anytime. It doesn't have to be spontaneous. And she said, Lord, there's no way that there's this many needs in the size that we're about to have this morning. What, all 10 people are like the worst invalids in the world? But she didn't expect there to be that many people. And of course, all those words came out and people came up and people got healed. And then as she's starting to wind down, she said, let's pray in the spirit a little bit. You remember? And then doctor starts to sing, man. I've never heard him sing before. Nobody had ever heard him sing before or after. And I grabbed the mic as fast as I could and put it up. And he said, this is the place I put my hand upon. This is the place I put my spirit upon. Many who go out and preach my word. And it's six lines that he said there. And then he got up and he took the microphone. She kind of stood back and he started sharing the open vision. Now, prophets, that not all prophets have the discerning of spirits. That's when your eyes are opened in the spirit. But some prophets do. Some ministers do, whether they're prophets or not. Dr. Dufresne was a seeing prophet. That meant that gift of discerning of spirits, which is to see into the spirit realm, operated a lot in him. Pastor Nancy, that doesn't operate very often with her. Brother Copeland, that doesn't operate very often with him. Dad Hagen, that operated a lot with him. Randy Greer, that operates a lot with him. Joe Morris, that gift operates a lot with him. Not every minister has it, because the Bible says he gives some this and he gives some that. Not every person. That doesn't operate very often with me, very rarely. But Dr. Dufresne, that happened, operated virtually almost, I would say, if not every day, definitely every week of his life. He was having those experiences, and not in a weird flake. He's not searching for them. They just happen. And so in an open vision, like he's got his eyes open while she is just saying, let's pray in the spirit a little bit. She's finished her words of knowledge. She didn't even preach that morning, if I remember correctly. And he has an open vision with his eyes wide open, and this whole roof disappeared. And he saw a large hand. It was God's hand, but he said it was huge. It looked like as big as a crane. He saw a hand pick up. He said it almost looked like a cherry picker, the way the fingers were doing it. He said he saw it pick up this mantle. And he said it like that mantle that Elijah would have had. It's a garment. But he said he saw it pick it up from a church over here which ended up being the church that was persecuting us. And he saw that arm mechanically almost come over and drop it hundreds of feet above this building. He saw it in the sky, drop it. And he said that mantle, which was large, it wasn't just like the size of a shirt like Elisha would have experienced. It was a large white-looking blankety mantley thing, and he saw it start to descend and come drape over this church. And God spoke to him. So then he got up and he shared. And he said, I'm very hesitant to share this because I don't want to cause any trouble in the body of Christ. I don't want anybody to hate me. I don't want anybody to hurt anybody. I don't want to despair anybody. But if I don't, he said, I said to God, I'll tell him privately. And God said, you must say it publicly. Yeah. Listen to me. You must say it publicly for it to come to pass. Now, these are things that pertain to the spirit, because natural carnal wisdom would say, keep it quiet so you don't offend anybody. But God is not into the rules of natural carnal wisdom. His rules sometimes are different. And sometimes things must be said publicly. Even what I'm doing tonight, I'm hesitant because I don't know who's watching. But he said to me, you say it, you need to say it. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I'm just saying what happened. I'm telling you the story, what happened. And so God said, if you don't say it publicly, it won't come to pass. Now think about that. Look how the emphasis God put on the public declaration of the vision. If he had kept it private to avoid hurting people's feelings, it risked not even happening. That's what the importance of the public anointing. That's so important to God. Some things have to be said publicly. And that's what's happening. A lot of churches are becoming so concerned about what is appropriate socially and diplomatically correct, and that the government's going to attack us if we say this, or are these people going to hate us if we say that? And we should use decorum and we should use good taste. But there's certain things that God expects you to say when he tells you to say it. It don't matter what anybody else thinks, because I'm going to stand before him. I'm not standing before Justin Trudeau. I'm standing before him on the Bema seat, my reward seat day. So he said, you say it. So he got up and he said, I'm reluctant, blah, blah, blah. And he shared what he saw. And then he said, I saw the same vision in that church, because he had been in that church for years. But then they had cut him off they'd cut him off anyway, because they didn't want the flow of the Holy Ghost. But then they cut him off more when he helped us. And he said, in that church, I think, Willie, I think you might have been in that service. I know there's some people here that were in that service at that church where he had that same vision. Yes. But in that vision, he saw the roof disappeared. He saw that large hand go downtown Toronto right by the lakefront. And he saw that hand pick up a mantle and carry it uptown straight north, directly north, and put it on a church. He didn't know the name of the church, either church, but he saw that. Then he saw, in that previous vision, he saw that, so it was a longer vision, that one. Then he saw that hand had dropped, then it paused, that meant time had passed, and then it picked that mantle up and moved it westward onto the church he's currently in, which was the previous church, and he saw that drape over the building. And he told that church, I see a mantle coming on this place. It was downtown Toronto. I don't know what the name of that church. I don't know who that church was. But it seemed to be at the turn of the century, he said. It was old. The buildings looked old. And he said, I don't exactly know when that was. But it seems it was about the turn of the century. Isn't that amazing, Jenny? And he said, and then it came up. And time has passed. And then it has come on this church. He's speaking previously. Now, this vision was shorter because it was just this church to this church. Okay? But he got up and he shared that context because nobody would know what that meant. Right. So he said, I saw in the previous vision, and he explained everything I've just explained to you. And then he said, now it's come on this place. And he said, now that doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. Remember he said that? He said, don't get a big fat head over this. He said, you're not better than anybody else. He said, all it means is that you have chosen, he's talking about me and the congregation who was present, but mainly me, because congregation members can leave, but I can't. You have the right to leave. You might get out of the will of God if you leave, but you can do whatever you want. I can't. That's right. I leave, I die. It's as simple as that. And if you're planted, you better make sure that you know that you're supposed to leave before you leave, because you'll cause problems in your own life. Don't get out of the plantings of God. So I can't. So he's mainly talking to me and Jenny because he knows we're the only ones that are guaranteed to stay. Okay? But he basically, where was I, Jenny? He basically said, it's not because you're that great. It's not because you're special. It's simply because you chose to agree with God. Yes. And to flow with the word and the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Meaning you're not seeker sensitive. You're not embarrassed of saying makahashtakura bishtahita, which so many churches today won't allow. You're not afraid to lay hands or cast out devils or preach real bold and tell sinners that they should stop sleeping around. That's the word and spirit flow, because whatever's in the word we preach, and then we flow with the Holy Ghost as he wants. Whereas a lot of churches don't want that. So he said the only reason he's picked you is not because you're great. It's simply because you chose to agree with him. And he knows he can use you in the word and the spirit. And he said, but if you change that like everybody else has, he'll take that mantle off you before you can say jackrabbit, and he'll find somebody else. And obviously we're the fourth person, the fourth church. We're not the best and the brightest. We're the fourth. Okay? Then he gets in the back and he sits. He's sitting against the wall. I had a little chair and I pulled it up. So I'm facing there and he's facing here. And he points his hand. He screamed at me. You could probably hear him out here. He screamed at the top of his voice, "Don't mess it up!" And he pointed his finger at me. And I'm telling you, fire came out of his eyes. And I don't know what to do other than it shocked me, scared me. But the responsibility of it hit me like a Mack truck. And I started to shake. Literally, I started to tremble. I couldn't control myself. And I'm shaking. And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes." I mean, he screamed at me. But see, that was the Holy Ghost screaming through him. That's not just his emotions. God is trying to get my attention through a prophet. Don't mess it up. Are you listening? It's important you remember that phrase. And I'm literally shaking. And I'm saying, "Yes, sir. I'm sorry." Yeah. I'm saying, "I'm sorry, sir." I don't even know what I'm saying I'm sorry for. But I'm just saying I'm sorry, just in case there's anything that needs to be said I'm sorry about. Yes, sir. And then Pastor Nancy stands up. Pastor Nancy's a sweet person, but she's not a lovey huggy person. She's a kind person, but not a lovey huggy person. She comes up, she puts her arm around me, and she says, "Calm down, Pastor. Calm down, Pastor Craig." She's tapping me. She puts her arm around me like this. She puts her arm around me like this. She's standing, and I'm kind of kneeling on the floor, and she says, "Calm down, calm down, calm down. It's okay," because I was that visibly shaken. And then she gave me a list of things. She said, "Now, you stay with the word and the spirit. You stay humble. Because the minute you think you're above correction, that mantle's you're gonna ruin it." She said, "Stay connected with who God has planted in your life, which is my husband and I." She said, "Stay in having a prayer life." And she said, "Stay clean. Don't touch ungodly things. Don't get into, don't do that." And I said, "Yes, Mom, I will." And I'm driving home, Jenny. We lived in Brampton at that time, and I'm driving home, and I get home, and I go to my room privately, and the kids were real small at that point, right? Quinny was only 5 years old, not even five. Yeah, I guess he was just turned five. Cole had just turned four. Caleb didn't exist. He's a glint in his daddy's eye. So Jenny's taking care of them, and I go to my bedroom, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to absorb this, and the Lord spoke to me just so loud and clear. He said, "Turn to that scripture." He didn't tell me where, but he said, "Turn to that scripture about Jericho." So I turned and I'm reading, and it says, Jesus was, he's the one that showed up and spoke to Joshua, and he had a drawn sword. And then he said, "Are you for me or are you for my enemies?" And Jesus said, "I'm not for either of you." Remember, Jesus was the captain of the army of the host of the Lord. And he said, "I'm not for either of you. I'm for the captain of the host of the army of God," meaning I'm for God's army, meaning I'm for God, meaning I'm just whoever is going to line up with God, that's who I'm going to help. And whoever doesn't line up with God, that's who I'm going to stand against. But I don't like you more than them. I'm for God. Now, I've never heard anybody preach that ever in my life at that time. But I'm telling you, those words screamed off the page at me. And I heard God say, "I'm not for you, and I'm not for the other church." In other words, he said, "Don't get a big head about it." And God was reinforced. You know, the first thing God dealt with was pride. The first thing he deals with in your life is pride. If you can't take correction, you're shot dead in the water, but you don't even know it. You've got to humble yourself to receive instruction from God and from the person that God has placed over you. Whether you like him or not, you've got to, otherwise you'll never go forward in your life. I've learned that. The first thing he dealt with was pride. And he said, "Don't you dare get a big head about this." He said, this is holy, this is precious, this is powerful. Right. This will change your life. Yeah. He said, but it's not because I'm for you and against somebody else. Amen. He said, I'm for the plan of God. Jesus talked, he said, I'm for the plan of my Father. And the plan of my Father must come to pass. And my only job is finding somebody who will agree and who will not mess it up. He said, you have been chosen by God because you've agreed. And you're not going to mess it up. He is basically saying to me, I believe you won't mess it up. But he said, now he yelled at you because I'm yelling at you through him to tell you not to mess it up. So do the things that he said, that list that he gave me. Stay connected, stay clean, have a prayer life, stay humble, blah, 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 blah. But he gave me that scripture, and that scripture is very important to me because God himself spoke it to me. I didn't just go through my Bible and go, I wonder what would be a nice reading today. God spoke that scripture to me in a very profound way. Now, he said, in years later, he said this, not then, he said, because I've gone back many times over that, and he said, notice what was associated with that instruction to Joshua. Jesus didn't come with a staff. Jesus didn't come with a glass of oil. Jesus came with a drawn sword. And he said, because this instruction to you, which is connected to Dr. Dufresne's instruction with the mantle and all this stuff, it's about war.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
And he's given me other symbols. In the fast, he gave me more. And there's 10 of them in total. But the first one came with a drawn sword. And he said, don't you ever forget, this is war, son. This mantle that he's talking about, that I have put on you, that is not because you're great, it's because you agree with me. This is about war, because there is a war going on in the realm of the spirit, and there's a war going on for righteousness in your nation. This is about war. You're not always going to feel good. Not everybody's going to like you. But if you'll flow in it, I'll be with you. That was a very... That day, June 28th, man, that was a day and a half. That was a very important day. Okay, are you listening? Yeah. So then I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what he's, I know the mantle, right? And then years later, the Lord, you know things in part. You don't know everything at the beginning. But years later, the Lord said to me, he said, that was a marking moment. The mantle hadn't come on you then. He's saying, I'm showing him something that I want to happen.
Yeah. Right?
Right? And then he gave me other scriptures about that to prove it from the word. He said, now, this is years later. This is in 2017, 7 years later. That's when he started showing me that mantle is coming in 2020. It was a foretaste. He was letting us know it's coming, but it hadn't actually come then. Because I thought it had come because he said, I saw it drape over this church. The Lord said, I'm showing him prophetically what's coming. But doctor didn't know everything either. He knows in part and sees in part and knows through sees through a glass dimly. He didn't understand everything. Because I would say to him after that, remember he didn't die until 2013. I'd say, Dad, nothing's changed. This church is the same little old silly church we had before. Nothing, with this great mantle, what is it doing? Nothing's changed. And he'd say, I don't know, just keep agreeing with God. He didn't know what to say because he didn't know. God didn't tell me until 17 that he was seeing what was coming and that thing was coming in 2020. Do you understand? So I'm saying this for a reason, okay? So that happens and we're going on. And he dies and we're going on. And all of a sudden then I don't remember the year. I got it written down. I don't even remember the year. It was the year what's the trumpet player dude's name? Kevin Durant. Remember they came and did a Christmas thing with us? I don't know, but you got to find out when that was, Taylor. You were in Bible school. When was that?
So that probably would have been
14 or 15. 14 or 15. So they came, and then the week after, they were going to Evangel Temple, which is actually one of the churches that the mantle was on. Now, isn't this interesting? When I came to Canada, my mother was praying about which church to go to. And God spoke to her and said, Evangel Temple. She didn't even know where Evangel Temple was. When we get there, I'm just a little tyke. I'm only 11 years old, but I start getting involved in everything. The only thing they wouldn't let me do was count the offering. I mean, I did everything. They gave me a master key at 15 for the entire church building. I could go into Pastor Bud's office and sit there if I wanted, which I did many times without anybody knowing. I'd take the bus up, go put my feet on his desk, just go, thank you for the anointing, and then I'd lock the door, put the alarm on, and leave and take the bus home. Don't give kids keys to the church if you don't want them to use them. I use those keys. They're my authority. So I'm I don't want to lose my train of thought. What was I saying, Jenny? But what was I saying before that? My mother was praying. God took her to that. Thank you, sir. Took her to that church. I'm growing in that church. I preached my first sermon at 16 in that church. So you understand? But God had me around the mantle without me even knowing there was a mantle. I served the mantle on that church without even knowing I was serving it. Do you understand? And then the pastor that was the associate pastor went over to another church, took over a church. The other pastor had died. He took over that church. And then that was the church that Manta went to. Well, ironically, I went and that was my home church for over 7 years. I went from evangel to that church. I didn't know there was a mantle. The evangel didn't know there was a mantle. Why? They didn't bring in the prophet. Dr. Dufresne always said, I knew I had something, I had utterance for that church, but they never invited me. See, if he invited them, he would have told them about the mantle. It matters who you have in your pulpit. God had me around it. Then, we're looking for a home church. We're just before we got married, we walk in, God says, this is it. I didn't even hear the worship. You don't need to judge things by the preaching. You should know, if you're spiritual, you'll know before you even get into the sanctuary. I knew in the foyer, this is the church. So I traveled out of that church. I did ministry of helps in that church when I wasn't traveling. And we went out of that church to Peru and came back. He begged me but he asked me to come on staff. I didn't want to because I'd been associate pastor before. I don't want that anymore. But he said, and then God said, obey him. I was 2 years in that church from 2006 to 2008 serving as associate pastor until finally God, now see, what am I doing? I don't even know there is a mantle. That church never talked about it once. Because if you don't honor something, it won't work for you. If you don't honor something, if you honor it, you'll talk. If you don't talk about it, you don't honor it. So I didn't even know there was because then nobody talked about it. To me, that's crazy. But anyway, so I'm faithful. I don't even know why I'm there, but I'm there. Why? God has a bigger plan that you don't always know. He had me serving the mantle in the second place. I couldn't have served it in the first place because that was 1917. Yeah. I'm alive in 1917. But I could do it in the second place as an 11-year-old, all the way up my teenager. I could do it in the third place. I didn't even know why God had me there. That's now I understand a lot more now than I did then. But you see, you just got to be led by the Spirit. Just obey. Because God is placing you for purpose, this purpose in his placements. So we're there. And then, of course, God says to me, now it's time to start your own church. He's going to let you go. So he let us go. We were happy. And the son took it over. So he wanted his own staff. No problem. We take the summer off. And then we hook up with Dr. Dufresne in September. And October 2008, we start this church. Now, I've gone back. Now, you know what happened in 9. He came in Oakville. Now you know what happened in 10. March, we move in here. Now you know what happened June 28th, 2010. Now he sees this vision. He tells me this stuff. Time's passing. Nothing's changing. Dad, what's going on? I don't know. Just keep agreeing with God. I saw that mantle. It's real and it's on your church. Yeah. He didn't realize that it was coming.
Right.
Are you with me? Yeah. So that day with Annie Durant, Annie and Kevin Durant, they're Rhema graduates. They're wonderful people, very anointed musicians and preachers. And they came to do a Christmas service here. And we had a great time. And then they said, we're going to Evangel Temple. I said, I used to be there for years. Now, the Pastor Bud has gone home to be with Jesus. His son, Pastor Glenn, has gone back into being, he's a psychologist, so he's gone back into that profession. Another man is there that I've never met. And he says, well, why don't you just come and we'll have dinner after it or something? I said, I don't really want to go. I haven't been there in years, right? And so I heard the Holy Ghost say, go. I don't want to go. Go. So Jenny didn't want to come. She didn't. But God didn't tell her to go. He told me to go. So I get in my car and I go. And I'm walking in. They'd renovated the sanctuary. My God, it's beautiful. My God, it's beautiful. And I'm sitting there. And I guess one of the ushers recognized me and said, are you Pastor Craig? I said, yeah. Oh, come sit on the front row. Oh, God. So I'm sitting there. And the pastor doesn't know who I am from Adam. And they're doing their trumpety thing and their Christmassy thing. And everything's great. And then, of course, they disappear with the pastor in the back room. So I said, well, okay, I guess dinner's out. So I'm walking out. I'm walking out, and then a usher runs into me and says, are you Pastor Craig? Yeah. He said, Kevin Durant and the pastor are in the back room. They want you to come and eat with them. So I said, okay. So I go back there, and they sit, Kevin says, sit. He introduced me to the pastor. He says, sit beside this pastor. So we're sitting there talking. I'm very polite. I don't make a lot of talk. You know, when you're the junior, you shut up, right? And so they're talking. But I heard the Holy Ghost in my heart say, ask him about the founding of Evangel Temple. So I said, sir, if without being a bother to you. And he goes, oh, I love talking about that. So he launches into this thing. Now, this is a divine orchestration. Yeah. And he's, because I know the mantle, but I'm not telling him, by the way, I have the mantle that used to be in your church. You don't say things like that. Nothing. You just zip your lip. But I know, I didn't know that he knew. And he goes, oh, well, don't you know, my dad, he said, was the last pastor of the downtown church. Because it had been there for many years. The last pastor. And then when left there and it came up to this location, 4190 Young Street. I still remember it. And he said, so he has told me the story. Wow. And the story was told to him by the previous pastor who he took over from, who was an older man who died. And the previous pastor to that told the next pastor. So this has been gone down through. And I'm not giving all the details at the time, but basically, Amy Simple McPherson had a man in her church, Willard Pierce, and he said, I feel I'm supposed to go to Canada to plant a church. Now, Amy Simple McPherson is from Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
I've been to the, what's, Rob, you've been there. Remember the name of the little town?
Sanford.
What?
Yeah.
Sanford, that's right. And then there's a plaque, the government, thank God for the government. I don't think it was Pierce, the Trudeau government, but anyway, there's a plaque in the public park to honor Amy Simple McPherson. The government paid to put that plaque there because she's the most, she said, one of the most famous Canadian evangelists.
Yeah.
And she had left there and gone to the United States, long story, but anyway. But she's from Southern Ontario. So he said, I feel I'm supposed to go back and plant a church in Canada, in Toronto. And she said, I'm from Ontario. He knew that. And she said, this is what the pastor told me, that his dad told him, that the previous pastor told him. And they've written it all out so it would not be forgotten. And she said, my heart is still for Canada. Now, she's in Los Angeles. She has Angelus Temple, the huge structure, thousands of people. Hollywood stars would flock to her services. She was as famous as the Hollywood stars back in those days, in the 1930s. She was in the newspaper more than the Hollywood stars. So she said, that's her home now. She said, my heart, I have not forgotten about Canada. My heart is still for Canada. And she said, now go. Oh, my God. She laid hands on him. And she said, go. I impart my anointing to you and my mantle. Go and plant a church on the shores of Lake Ontario. And my mantle will be with you. And my mantle will affect that nation. So he comes, then of course after some time he passed it on to the next man. He never had revival under his watch, but the next man had revival under his watch. And I'm talking the largest Canadian revival on record. 20,000 salvations. I mean, I don't know how many healings, they lost count of them. And that was all downtown Toronto at the, now they called it Angelus Temple North. Because it was Angelus Temple North. But after a while they said, no, we need our own name. So they got a similar name and they called it Evangel Temple. And I've got old pictures from 1930s. It says Evangel Temple right there, downtown. And I see that mantle came from Amy and Simple McPherson. That mantle started that church. That mantle was supposed to come into this nation. And it did through that man, through the faithful pastors. After they're looking at us from the banister of heaven. You don't think that they're interested in what they carried? And what they protected and what they labored in prayer for? You think that they get to heaven and they forget all that? They forget what car they drove, but they don't forget about holy things. And I know they've watched that mantle pass hands in the same church. And then God, they would know they're in heaven. They know what God's doing. They would watch that go up north. And they would watch that go west. Those men that were laboring in that, honey, for all those years, were watching June 28th when God put that mantle on here. This is far bigger than us. It's far bigger than just how old you or I or anything is. This is multi-generational. And so that mantle came on this church from that prophet And I've tried to, there's a lot more details, but I'm for sake of time. Anyway, so then the Lord said that, now that's, that he saw that coming, but it's coming in 2020. So now time is passing. We're being faithful. There's a lot more. But we had to pass tests, and there was a lot of, I can't get into all that. But he would tell me, now you're passing this test. Now we find you pass it. Now there's this test. Now you pass that. And finally, he said, now you passed those tests. And he said, now in 2020. And that's when he said to me, he walked into my room. I didn't see him, but I know he was there. And he offered me, he said, I'm offering you a 40-day fast. Will you like to take it? And I said, I don't want to take that. And he said, I'm offering it to you. And then the Holy Ghost said, it's an honor to walk in the footsteps of the Master. So I agreed. And he said, on that fast, it's coming. And I did a 40-day water fast. It was pretty tough. I wouldn't recommend it unless God tells you to do it. But on the very last day, on the last 3 hours of that 40 days, Jesus walked in, two angels were there. They put their hands, I could feel their hands on my shoulders pushing me down because I was shaking. I was so weak and so tired. And he poured that oil over me. I could feel that oil coming on my head. And he said, now I've anointed you with that mantle that Dr. Dufresne saw. He said, this is a demarcation line. He said, everything before is before, and everything from this day after will be new. I still don't know half of what it means because he knows that we're not that smart. He can only give us little by little. And then in 21, he started explaining more to me what that meant. So I'm just focusing on the mantle. Amy, simple McPherson's mantle. I fully don't know what that means, but I'm just, but then he started showing me, well, Elisha received the mantle so he could step into the prophet's office. The mantle or the anointing caused him to step into the office. So then he started saying, the mantle is mainly there to help you step into that office. And I didn't even really fully understand. He was talking to me about going around the world and planting churches, but I didn't connect the apostleship to that. Now Randy had come here in March just before COVID, which was months before that mantle came, and made it public without my permission, mind you. And he didn't warn me he was going to do it. Made it public. There's an apostolic church and this is an apostle. He had also said it. I know Reverend Pastor Gary gave me a recording. I thought that was the first time. He'd actually said it before that, which I had forgotten. See, I wasn't even listening. I'm the pastor, and I'm not listening. Probably he said it, and I thought, that's not possible. That's not me, and I just discarded it. But I paid attention in March 2020. And then on that fast, he's talking to me, but I'm still not connecting dots. And then after the fast in 2021, he started explaining to me, do you understand that I've been trying to get over to you? Connect dots, boy. I've been trying to get it over to you through the prophet, through Dr. Dufresne, who said it before he died, but not publicly, through Randy, who said it publicly more than once, that there's an apostolic office. Now, that mantle is for that apostolic office. It's to get you into that office like the mantle got Elisha into the prophet's office. So I started realizing, and he said, that's why I've been talking to you on the fast about all this apostolic stuff. And you're going to see it's going to start to come to pass. But this is your Jordan year. And there's going to be much revelation because you can't do it if you don't know what to do. And there's going to be much opposition because at every door of effectual door, there's many adversaries. And so all of that happened. And then 2022 last year was the Jericho year, the start. A lot of things happened. And you know, there was some opposition. There was sweet waters. There was a lot of stuff that happened. And we're on this journey. Are you listening?
Yes.
So once, I'm trying to get to this point. Once in about, I don't know, March, April 21, 2-3 months, maybe 4 months after the fast, is when he started to really reveal to me, this is the mantle came. I just know the mantle's here, but I don't really know what, I don't understand what I'm saying. I do, but I don't. So he had to explain to me after it had come. That's why I was talking to you all the fast about this apostolic type stuff. Because the mantle is here to get you into that office. Now you stepped into that office. You just looked at it like a mantle came on you. But what you don't realize is you stepped into that office on December 12th.
Yes.
You stepped into that office. So he's explaining that as 21 is passing. And I'm getting it. Wow. So it's not just this mantle. This is actually an office that the mantle helps me accomplish. So I'm realizing, all this stuff is going to start happening and these things are going to, you know, and it's the dots are connecting. Are you listening? And that's how I've been going from March 21 to present till tonight. Tonight something changed. Because I'm going and I'm focused on that mantle, that anointing has helped me get in that office. And I'm going to do that office to the best of my ability. And it's going to take time because God's not in a rush. But it's going to take time. But I'm going to obey that. Okay? And I've left it at that. So tonight, God said something to me. And I said, normally I don't like to say it so quickly. Just let me go meditate, pray, you know, seek God, write it out, get comfortable. Then what? But I heard him say, no, I want you to say it publicly and I want you to say it quickly. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he doesn't do that. Because my preference is not to talk about this tonight. I had a great sermon plan, but he said, no, you're going to talk about that tonight. So in the car, Jenny, on the way down here, God spoke to me. First thing he told me is he told me to call a pastor that we haven't been in touch with for a long time and that there was some friction some time ago. And he said, I want you to buy him a big gift. Good. This gift is probably about $15,000, but it's really, I won't say what it is, but he said, I want you to bless that person. Now, it's not illegal. The way we're doing it is not illegal, but it's from the ministry, but it's not, it's an appropriate, the government will allow this type of thing. So he said, I said, oh Lord, are you sure? That's a lot of money. You know, what we're believing God for. He said, I want you to sow that gift. I want you to help that pastor to his ministry. You know, charities can do charity to charity. Okay. So I said, okay, I'll do that, Father. We'll have to believe for the money, but I'll do that. About 5 minutes. See, it's amazing. He wanted me to, he wanted me to obey that. First, sometimes there's a giving that will open other things to you.
Absolutely.
Not all the time. That's not a manipulation.
No,
I'm just saying. I'm just praying in the spirit, just thinking about my sermon. And I heard him speak to me just as loud as I'm talking to you, Jenny. He said, I want to talk to you. I said, yes, sir. That's, every time he says it like that, I'm in trouble. But I'm not in trouble. He's not mad at me, but I've missed it. And he said, you have been talking about the apostle's office and the mantle that's helped get you into that apostle's office. And I said, yes. I don't know where he's going. And he said, and I'm pleased that you've done that, because you must say it. He said, but why? I'm telling you exactly how he said it to me. Why have you laid aside? That's how he said it, laid aside. Why have you laid aside talking about Amy Simple McPherson? I said, Lord, I'm not trying to lay it aside, because I know he's displeased with that. I said, I'm not trying to lay it aside, but that mantle is just to get me into the office. So I'm focusing on the office. And then he said, the mantle, son, is connected to that office. I said, I know, I'm not getting what he's saying. And then he said, you have laid aside talking about the particulars of that mantle and who it came from. And he said, and that is one of the reasons things are not moving as fast as they should.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, what? I still couldn't quite grasp what he was saying. I said, what do I need to do differently? He said, pick back up, not pridefully, because he knows I don't like talking about it. He said, pick back up talking about where the mantle came from. You've laid it aside. And immediately I said, but Lord, people are going to think that I'm proud. If I say that we've got an Amy, a measure, a portion, it could just be 5%. I don't know how much it is, but we've got a portion of the Amy Simple McPherson mantle. If I say that, people are going to think I'm crazy, not our church, but people out there. And they're going to probably accuse me and persecute me and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying this to him. And he said, I didn't say it would be easy. But you pick that back up. In other words, talk more about where the mantle came from. You're doing a good job in talking about the mantle getting you in the office, but you're not talking about where the mantle came from. And I still didn't understand why. I said, Lord, I'll do exactly what you've said, but I need you to explain to me why. Oh my God, then he said it and I saw it. He said, Amy Simple McPherson, he's strong. He's increased his strength in his word, in his tone. He said, Amy Simple McPherson was an apostle. And I've never seen her that way. I've seen her as an evangelist. Most people talk about her as her healing meetings, her evangelist office. But an apostle can step into the evangelist office. I heard him. He said, she was an apostle. And he said, have you forgotten that the four square churches, which are global, were planted by her? And he said it to me just like that. And I thought, oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, Lord. Her and her son, Ralph, and her staff and her workers have planted Foursquare churches in almost every single nation on the planet.
And I just think of her as an evangelist healing the sick, but she was an apostle planting Foursquare Works everywhere. Yes, sir. Yeah. Wow. And I didn't look at that right. He said, son, you've been talking about the mantle, and your apostolic office, and that's wonderful. I commend you. But Amy Simple McPherson's mantle was an apostle's mantle. I've never seen that. Didn't cross my mind ever. He said that mantle that came on this church was from her because it's an apostolic mantle. And it will help you step into the apostle's office. And you must say it. Because your lack of saying it is hindering my help for you. In other words, I said, what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. All of this is while I'm driving. In fact, I never use it, but I was so engaged, I didn't want to miss anything. I put on my self-driving mode. Thank God for Teslas. I need that time with God at that moment. And I said, now, Lord, okay, it's an apostolic mantle. I never saw that before. That the mantle gets me into the apostle's office, but that particular mantle is an apostolic mantle to get me into the apostolic office. And I've never seen that. And he said, now you're hindering me by not saying it. I said, I don't understand what you mean by that. Listen to this, Jenny. These are things that pertain to the spirit, man. You need God to teach you this stuff. He said, when you talk about it, you release the anointing from her office. There's certain things that I used her to do, and that's part of her mantle. Now, not all of it, but a measure. He didn't say how much has come on you. You've got to show honor for where it came from. Yes. You can't just talk about the mantle and the office. You've got to talk about the Amy Simple McPherson mantle and the office. But you're not talking about her. And he said there are things in her mantle. Now, it's different. See, other ministers have other mantles. But not every minister's mantle contains the same. You know what I'm saying? Bill Matthews has a mantle. Any apostle has a mantle, but not every, because it's based on the individual. Not every person has exactly the same ingredients in that mantle. Do you understand? Now, he said, now, I'm me. I'm not her. And I don't have all of hers. I only have part of hers. But he said, there's something in her mantle, the ingredients that was for her, that I'm trying to get to work for you. And then he said, and I'm trying to get it to work for Dan. And I'm trying to get it to work for the Philippines. And I'm trying to get it to work for Delaware. And he started listing the works. He said, because those are the apostolic works under you. But you're not talking about where it came from. And I need you to start to say it. And I said, but I still don't understand. How does saying it help? He said, well, one, you're showing honor. But two, he said, when you talk about it, now I can release things that are in that mantle from her, not just a general mantle, but things that were on her. I can release that anointing to start to trickle down. He used the word trickle down, to start to trickle down into you, into your church, into your other works. And he said, that anointing will accomplish things that you don't even understand. Lord, I'm trying to grasp what you're saying here. So you're saying that just acknowledging and showing honor for the particular thing that was on her, of which I have only a measure, will release something from that back old age, that thing back then. It will release something to come and trickle down into my work. And he said, yes. And then I saw a flash of her. I've seen pictures of it, but I saw a flash of her digging Angela's temple. And she didn't have the money. So she dug the pit. And then she said, just God will fill it. And I saw a flash. I've seen picture, old photographs of that, but I saw that flash. And he said, I need you to build a building. And he said, it will be a large building like hers. He didn't mean it from scratch. It's not what he's saying. He's equating there's a large building. And he said, and you don't have the money like her. But I need you to start when I tell you to start. And that anointing that was on her to finish that building is trickling down on you to finish that building. That anointing on her, she was known for being very creative in her evangelistic outreaches. He said that anointing on her is going to trickle down into your international works. And that's going to help them become more creative in their evangelism. It's going to, that anointing on her for miracles going to start trickling down on you, because I've talked to you about miracles. He said it's not just the mantle, it's her mantle. I mean, Jenny, I've missed it. It's not just the anointing, it's her anointing. And I'm not putting a person on a pedestal, but God is authoring and saying, I put something in her. It's so overflowing and overwhelming. It a little bit can get on you and it can help you. I didn't say how much. I'm not asking him how much, because he knows if he wants to tell me, I'm all ears. But he didn't tell me how much. And maybe it's better I don't know how much. And it might only be a small amount, but whatever that amount is going to help us. I've never seen that thing before, ever. He said, you've laid it aside. You just talk about the mantle, but you don't say it's the Amy Simple McPherson mantle. I said, but people will judge me. He said, I didn't say it'd be easy. But you do it, boy. If you don't, you cannot access, you cannot release things in that mantle to trickle down and help you. You must say it. No matter what people think. Doesn't matter what they think, Jenny. I don't care what they think. I'm afraid of God in a holy reverence way, not a fearful way, but a reverential way. And I heard him say, start to say it. When you say it, I can now release things that were in that mantle on her to start trickling down into you. And he mentioned you and into Pastor Happy's work. And he mentioned all the works. He listed all of the works. And he said, I want that mantle to help you. Yes, in general, you've stepped into the apostle's office because of the general mantle. But he said, it's not a general mantle, boy. It's a specific Amy Simple McPherson mantle. And it was an apostolic mantle because she was an apostle and a strong apostle. In fact, a global apostle. And I needed to help you. I wanted to help you. But you're not, I can't release it if you don't show honor for it and for her. So I said, Lord, you're right. I didn't see it. I repent. I'm sorry. He said, it'll help you get that building, and it'll help you pay for that building. He said, it'll help you in the anointing for healings and miracles. It'll help you in the works that are planted. It'll help you. Praise God. I said, Lord, I need all the help we can get. Praise God. So I know I have to say it. I know not everybody here is fine. I know not everybody out there will like it, but that's not really my problem, is it? Because he said you have to show honor for where it came from. Dr. Dufresne didn't know, but he saw the church. He just didn't know what it was called. He didn't know where the mantle came from. And then last thing, and then at the end, I mean, I'm trying to process this. And then I heard him say, and you think it's coincidence that I've placed you so close to Pastor Nancy? I said, no, I know it's not. And he said, because she has that anointing on her life, that Amy Simple McPherson anointing. And somebody prophesied to her years ago when she was doing 10 crusades, long before she even started pastoring, over 30 years ago, a man of God prophesied and said, the Amy Simple McPherson anointing is going to come on you in the last days. Dr. Dad Hagen always talked about a woman will be raised up in the last days. I believe with all my, there's others, but I believe with all my heart that he was talking about her. Now, there may be others. I'm not judging. I'm not trying to, I'm just saying. And he said to her, because of your connection with Amy Simon McPherson, I'm giving you her castle. He said, do you think it's coincidence that you are so close to her? Because that impartation, there's an Amy Simon McPherson anointing on her. And he said, and you're under her, and you're a recipient of that. Plus, it has come on you directly. And if you'll talk about it more, you'll be a recipient of that. Huh. Interesting. And he said to me a little while ago, I didn't understand it, but I understand it tonight, Jenny. He said, you remember I told you to buy the house beside the castle? There's a little house right beside Pastor Nancy's castle, and God spoke to me. He said, I want you to buy that. I thought he meant just to be close to her, and he does. But he said, I'm placing you. Now, some of these things are hard to understand, and I know you might argue with it because if you get into your mind, it doesn't make sense, but things of the Spirit don't always connect with your mind at the beginning. But he said, it's not coincidence you're close to her. It's not because that Amy Simple McPherson anointing is on her. It's not coincidence I asked you to buy the house beside the castle. He can't ask me to buy the castle because he gave it to her. But he said, but I want you close physically. I want you, when you go to California, I want you to be in that, I want you to be physically close to that castle because that Amy Simple McPherson anointing is still in that castle.
Yeah.
I want you to be close to her because that Amy Simple McPherson anointing is on her. And it's also separately and independently on you.
Yeah.
Because that anointing is needed for the last day.
Yes, sir.
Now, Pastor Nancy is not an apostle from that. She is in one way. She has a message. But she's not out planting churches necessarily. But that anointing on Amy Simple McPherson for miracles and healings, that's what God has told her. That's what you're going to have. But she did more than that. She was actually an apostle.
Right.
She's planted works all over the world. You can go in any country of the world and you'll find a Foursquare church.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm being obedient because I need God. We need every bit of help we can get. And whatever is in that mantle, no matter what portion or we have, whatever is in the, whatever little, great, I don't know, but whatever we have, I won't going to say little, I'm not going to say great. I'm just going to say whatever measure we have. Whatever measure we have, we need it to operate and release things for us.
Yes.
And it's not going to be if I just say the word mantle. I need to show honor for where the mantle came. And she is watching today. I know it. She is watching from heaven today what her mantle is doing in the earth. She's watching to see Pastor Nancy, who's picked that up. She's watching to see us in her homeland. Who has picked that up? I'm telling you. I just know it. I know it. These things in heaven are not let go. They watch and they pray. I believe heaven prays for these things to come to pass. So I say all that to say, I don't even know how to end this. I say all that to say, we have a destiny as a church that is special and unique. We're not better than anyone else. We don't think we're better than anybody else. We simply agreed.
Yes.
But because we agreed, he has given us empowerment,
yes,
which other churches do not have. He's given us an empowerment,
yes,
called a mantle or an anointing. And it came from a woman who was a strong global apostle.
Yes. Oh my God.
And it has come on us. And of course, if he had said, appeared to me, I would have said it out of fear and trembling, but I'm so grateful that he didn't show it to me. Look, self-serving. He showed it to Dr. Dufresne. He showed it to somebody else. He didn't just show it to me. He showed it to somebody else. He said through other prophets about the apostolic nature. I didn't say it publicly until they said it publicly. Do you understand? I mean, it's not us promoting ourselves. This is God coming to me and saying, you've laid it aside. You talk about it, but you don't talk about it fully. I'm pleased with you for talking about it partially, but to be considered fully talking about it, you can't just say the mantle in the office. You've got to say where the mantle came from. Because there's things in that that it cannot get to you because you won't say it. So I say, Lord, from tonight forward, I'm going to not obsessively, not weirdly, not pridefully, not in the ditch. I don't want to be in the ditch. I want to be in the middle of the road. But I'm going to say more frequently and show honor for where it came from, because I'm putting a demand on what's in that mantle. What's in that mantle?
Yes, sir.
We need its help. We need that anointing, specifically what was on her. We need that help for our global, whatever, much smaller than her, but global, whatever we're doing,
amen,
including the new building.
Yeah.
LA is a sin-soaked city.
Yes, it is.
And Toronto is a sin-soaked city, and both are large.
Yes.
And her church was a beacon to that city.
Yeah.
And I believe the Glory Center will be a beacon to that, to our city. I believe it. But I need everything. I need every little bit released to aid us. I needed aiding Pastor Happy. I needed aiding Pastor Gary. I needed aiding Pastor Dan and the others that are going, because I'm telling you, and I said, Lord, I still, my mind is fighting it. And he said, you don't have to understand it. Just say it. There's anointings you don't even understand how they work, Craig. And I'm not going to explain them to you. But you just need to trust me when I tell you. Say it. Because when you say it, there's a release.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So I'm saying it, Father, against everything in my not wanting to be accused or whatever, I say thank you for the Amy Simple McPherson mantle. Thank you for the apostolic mantle that came December 12th. 2:45 a.m. Thank you, Father, for that mighty mantle that is on us to step into that apostolic realm and office. Pastor Nancy prophesied in 2021 at Holy Ghost meetings, another realm. Lord, that office is a whole nother realm, and it's so large and it's bigger. I can't even fathom it. It's so huge. But I'm trying to be faithful one small baby step at a time that I can take ground and I can explore that great mansion. There's so many rooms in it. There's so much in it. I can't even fathom it in my mind, but I'm being faithful, Father. Thank you for that Amy Simple McPherson mantle. Thank you that it's helped us. That apostolic mantle is helping us step into that apostolic vision. Thank you for that mantle that releases things now onto me and onto this church, onto my staff and onto my spiritual sons that are going out, and to my congregation that are going out to witness and to preach and to heal the sick and to cleanse lepers. Lord, that mantle, there's things in that mantle from her that will trickle down onto them. And we see it as holy, and we see it, and we're reverent. It says a high reverence in our heart for this, Father. Thank you for finding us faithful. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you, Lord. We're not better, but we're agreeing. We will not deviate left or right from the word and the spirit. We will not. We will stay the course. Whether people come or leave, we will stay the course. And I thank you for that anointing and that mentor that's going to help us, Father. I don't fully know, understand it all, but I know you just said, trust me and say it. I can release things if you'll say it. I can release things if you show honor for it. So, Lord, I do. I say it. Thank you for helping me see where I was missing it on that. Oh, I thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to see. This is, Lord, we're going to see it. It's going to build. It's going to build. Hallelujah.